We're on the, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, as we've been going through the Old Testament verse by verse. In this section, remember, Moses has been preparing the people to go into the promised land. And we're looking at the second generation here, because the first generation did not get to go in because of their unbelief. So the picture for us as we talk about the promised land, we physically don't go walking into this place. But the promised land for us is the spirit-filled life. And that's the life that is surrendered to the Lord and saying, Lord, just take my life. I give it to you completely. I ask you to fill me with your spirit. Use me for your glory. My life is yours. And we're commanded to do that in the New Testament, to continually allow the Lord to fill us with his spirit. So when we get into this section, as we talk about them getting into the promised land, and we're going to be dealing with the promised land for some time, it's the Lord giving us some powerful lessons on the spirit-filled life. So we'll be in the spirit-filled life for some time, and that's a good thing. It's something that's much needed in the body of Christ today. There are a lot of Christians who like to stay outside the land. They don't want to surrender. They're afraid what maybe the Lord would do with them or something, and whatever it is that's holding them back. And the Lord will really be pressing on us as we get through our studies here to surrender and just let him do what he wants to do. Because that's the best place in the world to be, is where God wants you to be, and allow him to use you. Now, what we're going to see as we get into the study today too, and it comes up quite a bit in this chapter, you'll see in chapter 8, the Lord was trying to let the people know that you're going to become prosperous overnight. I mean, they're going to go into a land, he said, that you're going to get these houses that you didn't build, you're going to get these vineyards, these crops and everything that you didn't plant. And you're going to just automatically have those things because you went in there. So it sounds for us in America, we'd say, oh man, that's cool. We just won the lotto or something, you know. But the warning for that, there are some dangers. And the Lord's going to talk about those. One of the dangers, and this is the start of things, is when we become prosperous, is we forget the Lord. And that's the biggest danger, because it starts other things going. And we'll see some of that as we get into our passage today. So as you see this in chapter 8, notice how many times the Lord says to remember. And he says, don't forget. And it's remember and don't forget. And it's a really good thing for us. We do have a tendency to forget the Lord, unfortunately. We had just a couple things as we looked at chapter 7 last time, some reminders there of what we saw. The Lord was letting the people know, the Israelites, that he loved them. He talked about why he chose them, simply because his love for those people. It wasn't because they were the best people in the world. It wasn't because they were the largest group. It was because God loved them. And he was going to use this small, insignificant group of people. There were only 75 that went into Egypt when the Lord moved them down there. And when they came back, of course, they had a few million. But the point was, he was going to use a small group and show the whole world what he could do through people that were submitted to him and walking in his ways. And unfortunately, they didn't follow through with that. But the Lord did have a great plan he laid out for them. And the reminder for us is that it looks bad when the Lord offers you so much and you don't follow through in obedience to him. So we got some really good lessons with that. The Lord was also telling him as they get into the land, he said, if you listen to me, if you do what I tell you to do, man, I'm going to, he said, I will love you, I will bless you, and I will multiply you. Man, those are some awesome promises from the Lord. And he says, you just have to live the way I tell you to live. And if you do, you're going to see an amazing life, okay? He also told them as they get into the land, they're going to have these fights and everything, the wars and that. And he says, don't be afraid of those people. He said, don't be terrified. Because God promised he would take care of them. Okay, he's going to march against these enemies of theirs. And we'll get some more of that too as we get into the passage. We ended up last time in verse 26 of chapter 7. Don't bring that abomination into your house. And it was talking about the idols. The Lord said you're going to see a whole bunch of idols when you get into this land. Do not be tempted by them. There'll be some beautiful ones. There's going to be gold. There's going to be silver on these things. But Don't even lust after that stuff, because it is bad and it will lead you in the wrong direction. So we come down then to chapter 8 and verse 1. And he says, every commandment which I command you today. So how many of them? Every one of them. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe. And he tells them why. That you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. Now there's some things here we want to stop and focus on. He says here, every commandment. And you think about this, every commandment that God has ever given through his entire word, we need to keep every one of those, because every one protects us. It tells us the right way to go. And in the big picture, it actually protects our society too. I mean, you notice what's happened in our society since we've gotten away from the Ten Commandments hanging in the school system. You know, we've gone down and down and down and down, and it's a dangerous place now. Didn't used to be. I mean, some of you still remember the days when you didn't have to lock the house, lock the doors on the house, didn't have to worry about keys in the car and stuff like that. And a lot of those days are gone for most of us, I think, because we've gone down so far. And a lot of that has to do with what we have done with the Lord. So every commandment is important. And you'll notice something here, what the Lord said. He said, you must be careful to observe. So he's saying you want to be careful to obey. Now think about this. Our careful obedience is going to cause four things to happen in our life, he says right here. He says in that passage, he said, that you may live, and he says, and multiply, and go in, and possess. So we're going to just think about those things that God promises if we're careful to obey the Lord and walk in his ways. The first one he said is that you may live. Now in their case, it was to stay alive, because remember, they had capital punishment going. They were supposed to. And if they violated the commandments, you weren't going to live. It was pretty plain and simple in their society. Okay? Now spiritually for us, we get a lesson from this too. It's to experience the life that God has for us here. That he wants us to be able to really live. So a life of obedience to the Lord is totally different from the selfish life that we naturally want to live. You know, and they're two totally different roads. I had a chance to talk to somebody this past week and was sharing with them about the Lord and that. And they were depressed. They were down in their life, and they were not good in where they were. And, you know, I was trying to tell them, I said, You haven't even seen the life that God has for you. You haven't even tried that road yet. That's a completely different road from what you've been put on. You know, I mean, you've been on this road of selfishness. You've done things your way. You've made some really bad mistakes. And now you're in a place where it's a real mess. And you acknowledge that. But God has a much better life for you than what you've done for yourself, you know. And I said, you haven't even tried that yet. And that's the thing, you know, if we're careful to obey the Lord, he has a life for us. And Jesus said, what? I have come that you might have an abundant life. So it isn't just, you know, a life that we're going to make it till tomorrow and hopefully we'll make it till the next day, you know, depressing thing like that. But it's that you might really be able to live life and see what life is really about. And that's what God would have for his people. But we have to follow God and do things his way to see that life. Now, we might say, well, that don't sound like too bad a deal. Well, it rubs our flesh when we see what God tells us. We're going to talk about this a little bit more as we get into here. But one of the things that we have to do is, if we're going to raise our kids, we have to raise them the way God tells us to raise them. You know, you look at our society today, they've removed God's way of dealing with things and discipline. And you look at the kids, and they're a mess a lot of times. They don't have any authority. They're not used to authority. They're disrespectful. They don't have anything like when we were growing up, and a lot of that stuff was implied, you know, on us. It was put on us, you know. But yeah, things are different if you don't do them God's way. And the sad thing is, we'll blame God when we're the ones that messed it up, you know. We're saying, no, I didn't do it. I don't do it that way. That's wrong. Well, you do it your way and you end up with a mess, right? So yeah. Living the way the Lord tells us is so important, so we can see the life he wants us to have. It's a life that's protected. It's going to keep us from some stuff, you know, keep us from getting in junk that we shouldn't be in. Also, the second thing he said there is that also that you may live and that you may multiply. Now, for the Israelites, it meant to grow numerically. The Lord was going to continue to bless them. That nation was going to continue to grow. And in their time period, that was an awesome thing to be having these big families and raise them in the ways of the Lord, you know. And that was the goal, that they would be able to spread the good news about God and his mercy and everything to the people around them just as they continued to grow. And people would see their blessing on their life. Now, spiritually for us, it means growing spiritually. So we can multiply. We can have a greater walk with the Lord. We can have a closer walk with Him. And, you know, that's the goal that we should have in our heart, that, Lord, I want to continue to grow in Christ. And the Lord says there's a third thing here, that you may possess. He says you may go in. I don't want to miss that little phrase there. He said that you may go in. So for them, it was actually going into the land, actually stepping foot into the promised land. And remember, their parents wouldn't do that. They said, we're not going to go. And then they messed up, you know, and had to go in the wilderness for a long time. But for the Lord says, I want you to go into the land. I want you to make that step of faith and go in there, okay? So spiritually for us, it's going into the Spirit-filled life, actually obeying the Lord's command and allowing ourselves to continue to be filled with the Spirit, okay? And now that's the idea of us continually surrendering our lives to the Spirit's control. You know, it's not bad for us to say, Lord, I give you my life today and I want you to use it. And then tomorrow we have to say, Lord, I give you my life today and I want you to use it. It's a continual surrender we have to the Lord. And the problem is, if we say, well, I gave my life to the Lord a long time ago, so I don't have to keep doing that. And I like what, I think it was Chuck Swindoll, was the one who said, the problem with being a living sacrifice is it keeps crawling off the altar, you know. And unfortunately, that's what we're like. We forget the Lord. We'll give Him everything. And then something goes on, time passes, and if we're not staying close, we get to the point where we realize, wow, I gave my life to the Lord. I'm back to my selfish ways again. So it's a continual thing to continually surrender to the Lord, ask Him to fill us with His Spirit and to lead us and guide us in our life. The fourth thing he mentions there is actually to go in and possess the land, he said, of which the Lord swore to your fathers. So for the Israelites, the Lord didn't want them to just go into the land for a visit. He didn't want them just to go in there and look around and say, oh, this is a nice place, like they're on vacation or something. But he wanted them to actually possess the land. Now think about this. How is that going to happen for them? Well, there are people living in the land, right? And they were the enemies of God. So for them to possess it, they're going to have to go in and they're going to have to conquer the place, all right? Chasing out and destroying the enemy. Now, so spiritually for us, we're supposed to be possessing the Spirit-filled life. Not just walking through and saying, oh, yeah, I did that one point in time, but I'm done with that. You know, but we're actually supposed to possess it. So how do we do it? Well, it's the same way, by conquering territory. That means that we're going to let the power of the Spirit in our life be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the disciples after Jesus had been raised from the dead and he said he was going to ascend and he told the guys, you wait here, you need to have the empowering of the Spirit. Don't go out there yet. I've given you the mission, take the gospel to the ends of the earth, but don't go until you have the empowering work of the Spirit in your life. And that to do that, we know that you have to surrender and say, Lord, just do whatever you need to in my life. Fill me with your Spirit. Use me for your glory. And man, it's amazing when we do that because the Lord will really start working through us and being a witness, letting that witness of Christ really show through. Now, I thought about this. We all have different spiritual gifts. The Bible tells us if you're in Christ, you have a spiritual gift, at least one, okay? And it's the Holy Spirit working in you and working through you to minister to other people, all right? Now, we may not have all, we don't all have the gift of evangelism, you know, we may not have that. We may not all have the gift of teaching. We've got gifts of serving and helping and other things that the Lord has. But with all these different gifts, if we're using that gift in serving the Lord, serving our brothers and sisters in Christ, then we are involved in that discipleship making process. That's what God intends. You may not be on the front lines, but there's a lot of support people in the back doing a lot of work too, okay? So whatever gift you have, you use that for the Lord, and you're involved in that process of possessing that Spirit-filled life. You're saying, Lord, I surrender to you. Use me. Use my gift, okay? And that's really important. Like I said, the body of Christ today, you look around, and a lot of times Christians have the spiritual gift. They're just not using it. They're just holding on to it, you know. I've seen some Christians who will use it in the business realm. They've been gifted by God, and they're using that thing, that ability to organize or whatever it is. They're using it for their family and everything and making profit, which is okay. The Lord made you that way. But man, use your gifts in the church too. The body needs the folks to be ministering what God has gifted in them to do. Now, secondly, we're possessing the Spirit-filled life too, by chasing out and destroying the enemy's work that's going on in our lives too. You know, the devil, he's our enemy. He may have set up strongholds in our lives before we got saved. He's a stinker. He doesn't stop even after we're saved. He continually tries to find doorways into our life to cause problems. He can't take us over. We are possessed and owned by the Holy Spirit. But he sure likes to get in there and try to cause us to stumble. He likes to trip us up. He likes to discourage us. And he's looking for those ways to come into our life. So part of our life of really possessing this Spirit-filled life is to say, Lord, I want you to just take out anything in my life that is under the enemy's control. And I want to be involved in that process, you know. You think about this. If there's any part of our life that we're allowing the enemy in, we're giving him room to work, we're supposed to get all that junk out of there. And that's where this conquering comes in, this taking territory, this chasing the enemy off of the land of our life. Romans 6 says this, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. So we have a choice, even as believers, what we're going to do with our life. You know, if the Lord wouldn't have to tell us this if there weren't a possibility that we'd say, I like this area of sin, or the enemy's got this stronghold, and I'm just going to let it go. I don't want to deal with it, you know. But the Lord says, no, he doesn't want us to stay there. He doesn't want the enemy to stay in our land. He's got to go, okay? And how do we do that? It's by the power of the Spirit. That's how we overcome sin, and we're able to see victory in our lives. Now, somebody may say this, and you probably heard this before too, if you tried to encourage somebody to just follow the Lord and do things His way. They might say, well, I tried that, but it didn't work for me. But notice something. God here did not say to them, try to possess the land. He said, possess the land. He didn't say, try. He said, do it. Okay? Now, I remember last time in chapter 7, he said, I'm going to give you the land a little by little. It's going to be a little at a time. Okay? So that implies then that you got to keep fighting. You got to keep going. Okay? Until you possess the land, because that was the command from the Lord. All right? And I know somebody else might say, but I can't do that. Well, remember, you're not fighting alone, because God is fighting with you. He's fighting for you. Okay? I know the enemy, he's a stinker, like I said. He looks for weakness in our armor. He finds ways to get into our life and try to cause problems. He tries to set up a place there that he can try to manipulate us and keep us away from the Lord, keep us away from talking to people about Christ and everything that he's trying to do to slow us down. He can't take us out, but he's going to try to slow us down if he can and distract us. But you know what? We just trust the Lord, and we say, Lord, I want that junk out of my life. And I'm willing to keep fighting and fighting and fighting by your power, by your Spirit, until that junk is gone. Okay? Yeah, and the battle may be tough. It may take a while, but that's all right. You just keep fighting. And man, we need to hear that, I think, in our culture. Because we're in a throwaway society. If it don't work, we just throw it away, or we just put it on the shelf, you know? But the Lord says, I want you to keep fighting, man, because that's building character in us too. Because then we can encourage another brother or sister in Christ when we find them going through a struggle. And they say, man, I just can't do this. You say, yeah, if you're in Christ, you can do this, man. You get the power of the Spirit. You don't give up. You just keep going forward. All right, let's go to verse 2. It says, and you shall remember, there's that word remember, that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness. And what was he doing? To humble you and test you. To know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commands or not. Now this is real interesting, because this is speaking to the second generation, and they're in the wilderness, right? They've been there. Some of them were born there. Some were young, they weren't of the fighting age, so they weren't part of the first generation that died off. So they were alive at that point, but they were young. Now they've been there for all this time, for 38 years, going on 40 years, but it was not because of their choice. It was because of their parents' disobedience. That's why they were there in the wilderness, okay? But while they were in the wilderness, God said he was doing something. He was preparing them. He said he was leading them. He was doing that to humble them and to test them. So think about this. God was leading those people. It wasn't their choice to be there. They were just born there, born in that family. So there they are in the wilderness, okay? God was leading them, though, and it was no accident that they were there. He was humbling them so they would learn to trust him and not lean on their own understanding. And he was testing them, having them go through trials to strengthen them. And all of that was preparation for going into the promised land, okay? So as far as you and me, think about this. God prepares us for the Spirit-filled life, okay? Did you ever wonder why God was humbling you and me at times, you know, when we weren't thinking, our thoughts might have been, Lord, what did I do? Did I do something wrong or something? Why are you humbling me right now? Why is this going on? You know, and were you wondering why you had to face some of the hard, difficult circumstances in your life? Or maybe you were thinking, this is not what I had planned for my life. I did not plan on this difficult of a life or the things that I have to go through. I just didn't ever want that in my life. And the Lord would say, I know. I know you're not happy with that because we're not following your plan for your life. We're following my plan for your life. Yeah. God loves us. And he knows the best place for us to be is a Spirit-filled life. So go forward, go in, possess the land. You know, my brothers and sisters in Christ, you don't want to stop short of going into the promised land. Now think about this, because I know we're all in the same place here. Like I said, there are things you go through in life that you weren't expecting, things that were tough, times you felt like God was humbling you, and maybe you didn't know why. You know, like I said, it was God preparing you to say, get to that point where you say, Lord, I surrender. I just give up. I give you my life. I'm tired of this. I got to that point in my life where I said, Lord, there's got to be more to the Christian life than what's here. I'm going to tell you some more about that in a little bit here, but just to say, Lord, if this is all there is, I'm done. I quit. And Lord was finally saying, great, you finally let go of the steering wheel. Now I'll drive. And I got filled with the Spirit and things really started moving after that. So if you're in that place where you're saying, man, I'm at the point of the Christian walk where there's got to be more. If this is all there is, I'm kind of disappointed. Well, there is more. You surrender to the Lord. God's saying, I'm preparing you. I've been humbling you. I've been testing you. I've been getting to the point where you finally surrender and let me work in your life. It's okay. Just give up. Let the Lord do that. So what were the Israelites supposed to do with these past 40 years? As the Lord just said, you know, he's been doing all these things, leading them, testing them, humbling them. Look what it says in verse 2. Don't miss this. You shall remember that the Lord your God did these things. So what were they supposed to do? Remember those times because God was preparing them to be filled with his Spirit. And it's the same for you and me. We need to remember those times that God was doing stuff in our life. Stuff that maybe we didn't like. Things to bring you to the end of your rope. Things to bring you to the point of you saying, I just feel like giving up. And Lord is saying, I want you to give up so you can surrender and let me use your life, you know. But remember those times because God was at work. He was doing that stuff, getting you to the point of complete surrender to him. Now let me try to help maybe somebody today that might be thinking, I've not gone through that. I've not been there. Can I give you a shortcut? Don't wait until the Lord has to take you to the end of that rope before you say, I surrender, Lord. I was hard-headed. The Lord had to take me through a lot of stuff, you know, before I finally got to that point. Man, take the shortcut. Don't go to that. Don't go to the end of the road to say, wow, there really is a dead end here. I can't go any further. You know, surrender now. Save yourself some time and some frustration. Just take my word on that, okay? Verse 3, it goes on. So he humbled you. He allowed you to hunger. So if you say, well, how did God humble them? Well, he allowed them to hunger And he said, I fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. So you hear that promise that Jesus brought up when he was being tempted by the enemy? He said, man does not live by bread alone. He had to tell the enemy that, right? But he lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Okay? Now think about this. When the Lord said he made him hungry, okay? The Lord made him hungry so he could feed them. That's an interesting thought, okay? He wanted to show them that they really needed him and that he would take care of them. All right? Those are great lessons to learn from the Lord, because he's letting you know he is there. And we need to know that. We need to know that God's really there, okay? In the same way, God's allowing us to go through things that will drive us to our knees and get us into his word. And he does that in order to show us that his word nourishes us. And he feeds our spiritual hunger. God does that in our life. So when you go through a dry time, don't get upset about that. Run to the word, get in the word, and find out, say, wow, the Lord's word, his word really does nourish me. It really does satisfy the needs I have in my heart. That spiritual hunger. You know, I told you before that there was a time where I was really uptight about something, man. It was just, I don't even remember what it was, but it really had me. It was like I was being squeezed, you know, and I thought, man, I need some help. And I got alone with the Lord. I opened his word. I started reading the word. And I was amazed by the comfort that God gave me and the help from just reading his word. And the passage I was reading had nothing to do with the issue I was going through at the time. It had nothing to do at all with it. Just getting into the word, the Lord just, it was amazing. It was like somebody put this warm, nice warm blanket over me. I just had this peace that came, that peace that passes understanding. You can't even explain it, but it was just amazing. And I thought, well, thank you, Lord. When those times happen, it really encourages you by the power of God's word, that you can go there and God wants to help you, wants to speak to you. Yeah. And you know what? I want to tell you something too. And I think I shared this last week a little bit, but I want to mention it again. Our alone time belongs to the Lord. That's something that the Lord really impressed upon me as we were preparing for the pastor's conference and going. And that alone time that we have, that belongs to the Lord. And that's really important, because I find that's when the enemy likes to tap us on the shoulder and get our attention, distract us, put thoughts in our head and try to get us to think anything but the Lord. You know, try to find that weak spot and push those buttons, okay? But when we're alone, that's our time. It belongs to the Lord. And cherish your alone time with the Lord, man. That is such a sweet, special time. So you can have some sweet times of fellowship with the Lord in your alone time with him. Now, it's interesting, if you notice there, the Lord said he made them hungry and he fed them with manna. Okay? The Lord made us hungry spiritually too, and then he fed us the manna. And the manna that is the true bread that came down from heaven, Jesus said, is him, Jesus. He's the true manna, he explained. He said, yeah, my father gave manna in the Old Testament, but I am the true bread that came from heaven, and I've come to give life, and it's eternal life that he came to give. So the Lord made us hungry spiritually too, and he fed us with the manna that comes from him, which is Jesus. You know, man doesn't live by bread alone, he says right here. It's not the worldly bread that we need to survive eternally. Spiritual life is nourished, it says, by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So don't neglect taking in the word of God into your life. We need this. It's amazing what God does with us as we come to him and allow his word to get in us and start working and start moving in us. Go on to verse 4. Your garments did not wear out on you. So on those 40 years that they were traveling, the Lord mentioned this before, their garments didn't wear out. Same clothes, never had any wear or tear in those things. They just lasted and lasted and lasted. And he said, nor did your feet, your foot swell these 40 years. So even though they traveled so much, they didn't have those aches and pains that you might have from all those travels. And the thing was, the Lord is saying here, I've taken care of you. I've watched over you. And it was their past that God said, all that care that I took for you, that proved how much I care about you. I took care of stuff that you didn't have to worry about. I mean, where are they going to get more clothes out there in the wilderness? You know, Walmarts weren't there yet, so they didn't have anything like that. Yeah, so the Lord is saying, the past of me taking care of you, that's what should encourage you that I'm there for you. And if you're still alive today, if you're still breathing, it's because God's taking care of you. That's why He's taking care of us. And we can don't forget that. That's this whole thing. Do not forget what the Lord is doing. Verse 5, He says, you should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in His ways and to fear Him. Now the Lord said that you should know that this is something you should just know in your heart, that as a man chastens his son, that's how God's going to chasten us. Why does a man chasten or discipline? That's what that word means. Why does he do that to his son? Because he loves his son. All right? And God loved them, and God loves us too. And He loves us enough to chasten us. Okay? Now, Proverbs 13, I thought it was interesting to just put that in here. I told you we'd talk a little bit more about this. Proverbs 13 says this, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. So discipline is a good thing. It's because you love someone. That's why you discipline them. So if you wonder why God's on your case about stuff, it's because He loves you. And He's trying to help you have a better life. Proverbs 23 also says this, do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. And this is for the parents, right? To encourage you to discipline them the way the Lord said. I don't know anybody that ever died from getting a spanking. Never heard of that one yet. So the Lord made that part of our body for that purpose. What did somebody say? You want to give the rod of education to the seed of learning is what it does. You apply that there and see how the Lord works in a life there. But the Lord does that with us because He loves us. So don't get discouraged when God chastens us. Matter of fact, Hebrews 12 says, if you do not experience the chastening of the Lord, you better check to see if you're saved, because God the Father, He disciplines every son who belongs to Him. So it's a good thing when we feel the discipline of the Lord. Now, the Lord tells here, too, He says, you should know that I'm going to discipline you. And then in verse 6, He says, therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in His ways and to fear Him. So we all need that good, healthy, fearful respect for the Lord. Now think about this. What a difference that would make in a nation if the entire nation had a healthy fear of the Lord, right? Yeah, we see what happens when we don't have that fear of the Lord anymore in our country. And how about our own lives? What difference it would make in our walk if we fear the Lord and say, Lord, I'm going to do things your way for sure. Verse 7, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills. Just picture this place in your mind here. A land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, never running out of food, in which you will lack nothing. Think of that statement. When you get into this land and you do as I tell you, you will lack nothing. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. So Lord says you're going to have every single thing you need there. Okay? So what a blessed and satisfying life the Lord wanted for them. And you know what? If we obey the Lord and we walk in His ways, and by the way, that simply means stay close to the Lord, because if you stay close to the Lord, you're going to be sensing the Spirit's leading. You're going to be sensing when you go the wrong direction. And the Lord will help you in that obedience real easy just by staying close to Him. Okay? But if we do that, then we'll have something that most of the people in our society do not have. And it's contentment. The Lord said, you will lack nothing. That's contentment. You know? I was talking to Mike this week. Mike was telling me, he said, you know, I used to have a lot more stuff in my life in the past. But he said, now I don't have much stuff. But he said, I'm happier than I've ever been. That's the contentment the Lord wants us to have. It doesn't matter what you have or what you don't have. You know, if you got the Lord, you've got everything you need. everything you need. You don't lack anything. You just need to have the Lord. Wow. So praise Him. You know, if you've got the Lord, man, you've got what you need. If you're looking for a place to say amen, that'd be a good place to say amen there too. Verse 10. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which He has given you. How'd you like to know this? You're in the wilderness, you've been wandering around, dry and thirsty land, and God says when you get into this place, you're going to have everything you want, everything that's just going to thrill you. And He says when you have eaten and you're full, you're going to have a great meal. He says you're going to go in there, man. It's a buffet. You're going to be full, okay? That'd be encouraging, right? Somebody's been walking through dry land and wondering where we're going to, what kind of food we're going to have. And the Lord says, it's going to be great. And I says, when that happens, what are they supposed to do? You're supposed to bless the Lord your God for the good land which He's given you. And what it's telling us is to thank the Lord over and over and over. Let me ask you, this last week, have you been thanking the Lord for things? I hope you have. I hope you've been thanking the Lord today for things, you know? I mean, man, if we stop thanking the Lord, no, you're going the wrong direction. Okay? Thankfulness is so important. Thank Him over and over. Somebody said this, I thought it was really good, because it's talking about them getting a full belly here, right? And then they're going to thank the Lord. Somebody said, it's easy to thank God when we're hungry, but it's better to thank God when we're full, because that's when we get comfortable and we forget. You know? I've heard that in the Jewish culture, they actually give thanks after they eat the meal. And they got it from this verse. Because what does it say? When you have eaten and are full, then you bless the Lord your God. That'd be a great thing just to remember, you know? And I know we kid about this when we go to the restaurant, we get the chips and salsa, and we don't say thanks then. We wait for the real food to show up, you know? And you guys kid me about that, but you know it's true, right? But anyway, sometimes, either at a restaurant like that or even sitting at the table, man, you get your plate full. And we've already prayed, you know, by faith a lot of times before the food got on the table or whatever. But even then, I'm like, feel like, man, I need to stop and pray again. This looks really good. You know, I feel like, we need to pray some more. Thank you, Lord. This is really good stuff. And it's okay, you know, to praise the Lord before you eat, while you eat, after you eat. Thank Him over and over again. He is so good to us. My goodness. Verse 11, beware. And don't miss that word. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His judgments, and His statutes, which I command you today. And stop there just a second on that, because we ask the question, well, how do I forget God? How could I do that? And He says right here, don't forget the Lord by not keeping His commandments. By us not obeying the Lord, we have forgotten the Lord. It's that simple. You want to know how much you think of the Lord? How much do you obey Him? That'll tell you how much you think of the Lord. Now, when He uses that word beware here, this is a strong warning from the Lord, because we have a tendency to forget what God has done for us. And, you know, it's Him. He deserves all the credit for any good thing that has come into our life. Any good thing, He deserves the credit for that. So don't forget the Lord, you know. It's kind of interesting. As a young believer, I was still living at home with my mom, and I made this little sign, which for me, I made this little sign, just scratched it out on a piece of paper, and it said, don't forget the Lord. And I stuck it on the wall. Well, it was just for me, and I didn't even think about it, but, you know, I got married, moved out of the house and everything, and my mom would tell me sometimes, she'd say, I still see that sign, don't forget the Lord, and it really encouraged her, you know, and I thought, well, thank you, Lord, you know, you use that sign. And, you know, it sounds funny to think you'd have to put a sign up, but we do. We tend to forget the Lord. And the Lord knows that. That's why He tells us over and over and over again, don't forget me. I mean, you think these people going into this land, all the prosperity they were going to find, all the blessing, you know, they were going to have, you think they forget? No way. Oh, yeah, they did. They forgot. You know? And we do the same thing. Verse 12 goes on. Here's the thing. He said, beware lest this happens to you. When you have eaten and are full, and you have built beautiful houses and dwell in them. That's like if their houses there aren't good enough and you build more. And when your herds and your flocks multiply. So you really got some wealth going now. And your silver and your gold are multiplied. And all that you have is multiplied from this blessing of God. When your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led you through great and terrible wilderness, in which were fiery serpents and scorpions, and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in the end. Then you say in your heart, after all those blessings, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. So he says, don't dare forget. And that's a danger of us forgetting the Lord and what he has done in our life. You know, and the Lord warns us about that. So there's a danger of forgetting God, and there's another danger of thinking that any success in our life came because of me, came because of something I did. But look what the Lord said here to remind them and try to help them remember. He says, don't forget who rescued you. He said, I'm the one who brought you out of Egypt. I brought you out of that bondage. So for us today, don't forget who rescued us from our sin. Don't forget what he did for us. We can say thank you, Lord, every single day, every single moment. Thank you for rescuing me from my sin, from sparing me from the lake of fire for all eternity. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. You know? And don't forget the one, he says, who carried you through the wilderness, the dry times, the really bad times, the scary times, and the rough times of your life. I thought it was interesting, Lord mentioned here that there were deadly scorpions, there were vipers, there were snakes in that place, you know? You don't see those stories as they walk through the wilderness. Why not? Because God protected them from all of that stuff. That was a scary place, a dangerous place. But God was with them, so it was okay. You know? And the same with us. Don't forget the scary times God brought you through, the rough times he carried you through. You got to admit, honestly, we wouldn't be here today if it weren't for the Lord did in our life. I think most of us can look back and see times we should have died. Times that the circumstances were there, we could have easily been killed. It could have been over. And the Lord spared us. We're still here. Yeah. So don't forget, it was God who did that. Thank you, Lord. Another reason to say thank you. And also, he's saying, don't forget the one who cared for you and prepared you in the land. As he said, I tested you. I tried you. I got you ready for this day. I got you ready for the moment where you would surrender to me and walk an amazing spirit-filled life. Yeah, so don't forget, God's the one who did all that. Did a lot of work in us, you think about it. He's been working on us for a long time. Yeah. Then in verse 17, he said, then you say in your heart. In your heart. He didn't even say you say this out loud. He's talking about the thoughts of our heart. So we need to guard our inner thoughts. Sometimes we can come up with our own foolish ideas. We can do that. But sometimes our thoughts have been tampered with by the enemy. So we need to guard our thoughts. You know, 2 Corinthians says, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And never forget the one, the Lord tells us, don't ever forget the one who blessed you so much. He's done so much for us. We could spend the rest of the day saying, thank you, Lord, for every single thing. Verse 18 goes on, and you shall remember the Lord your God. Don't forget, remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. So the Lord said, I've given you wealth for that reason, that he might establish his covenant that he swore to the fathers there. So God's the one who blessed them with wealth, and he had a purpose for doing that. He says right here that he could establish that covenant. And what was the covenant? He swore to give that land to Abraham and his descendants. And it's not been completely fulfilled yet because they haven't taken possession of the entire land yet to this day. But that day's coming where God's going to make sure they have every square inch that he said they're going to have. That day's coming in the future. And the lesson for us is that if we have wealth, and most of us in this country do have wealth. You think about this. Do you have a microwave? Do you have a washer? Do you have a dryer? Then those are servants, because people used to have servants do those things for them. We are rich in our country. Even if you say we don't have much, we're wealthy compared to the rest of the world. Most of the world doesn't have stuff like that, okay? They go down to the river to scrub their clothes. They don't have a washer and a dryer. Makes them smell so nice and fresh when they come out, you know, all the stuff we have. But the Lord says if we have wealth, then we should be using it for him. You know, he blessed us with wealth for a purpose. And here's what it says in 1 Timothy 6. Command those who are rich in the present age, that's talking to all of us, guys, not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. He's still talking to the rich folks here. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So the Lord's point is, don't forget God, the one who made us rich. If you've got anything going for you in life today at all, anything, if you've got a microwave, it's because God's been working and blessing you. Okay? Verse 19 goes on, then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. So if we forget the Lord our God, we're going to surely end up worshiping other things. So he warns them up here. It's another danger of forgetting the Lord. You end up worshiping other things. See, we were designed to worship. And everybody in this world is worshiping something. Most, I think, are worshiping themselves. You know, doing things their own selfish way. They are their own gods. One more verse here, verse 20. As the nations which the Lord destroyed before you, he destroys before you, so you shall perish, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. Now, this was a physical warning for Israel that God was going to run them off the land too, just like the enemies, they're going in to chase off the land. You know, but we get a couple of spiritual lessons from this too. If we're followers of Christ and we reject the Lord's command to embrace the Spirit-filled life, then we end up living just like the rest of the world in the flesh. How sad. Because the door is open for us, man. There's nothing stopping us but us from going through that door. I want to tell you how it is to be that way. My ministry, before I surrendered to the Lord, before I was filled with the Spirit, the Lord taught me through that. I did ministry for a few years. I was a pastor of a couple of churches. I worked in different places. And it was all before being filled with the Spirit. I was doing the best I knew how, but I hadn't been taught and trained in how to be filled with the Spirit, how to surrender and let the Spirit come in and work in my life. And the ministry, even the ministry I did before then, I look back and I say it was just in the flesh. It really was. I mean, I tried to do the best I could, but it wasn't the Lord leading. It was me trying to run the show the way I thought I needed to do it. And it was in the flesh, you know? And I can tell you the difference between that and surrendering to the Lord and seeing the Lord work and take over. And there's so much less pressure this way. When I surrender, it's like, this is your thing, Lord. I just got to get out of the way and let you work. I don't have to control it. I don't have to push it. I don't have to make sure all this stuff is here. It's just, Lord, you lead. You tell me what to do. I'll do it. It's your thing. And man, it's such a joy, such a blessing to be on this side. But I know today there are ministries out there that are doing the best they know how, but they've never surrendered to the Lord completely. They're still trying to control it. They're still trying to hold on to it, you know. And it's in the flesh. And I can tell you, sadly, when we do ministry in the flesh, we do damage to people. Because we're doing it our way. We're not doing it God's way. And people get hurt in those kind of situations. So I repented after I was filled with the Spirit. I said, Lord, I'm sorry for things I did in the past and things I didn't do right, Lord. I pray you just minister to those people and help them. Any damage that may have happened because I was working in the flesh without meaning to, but I just didn't know. I hadn't been there yet. But see, all that was preparation. That was God preparing me to get to the point of saying, Lord, if this is all there is, I just give up. I give up on ministry. I give up on the Christian walk. I don't know what else to do. I just give up. And that's when the Lord said, great, now you're surrendered. Now I can do stuff. Now I can use your life and do things that you could never do on your own. And it was such a joy, an amazing thing. Some of the stuff that happened, I'll share some of that with you sometimes, some of the things the Lord did. But the thing is, don't settle for that life of the flesh, the life outside the promised land. Don't settle for that, okay, as believers. Do you want to surrender and go in? Go into that land. Possess that place. The other spiritual lesson is for those people who don't know Jesus. The spiritual lesson there, as the Lord says, so you shall perish, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. For those people who don't know Christ, they've rejected God's offer of salvation. They won't accept Jesus. They won't accept his work on the cross, that it was good enough to pay for their sins completely. They'd rather have the world. They'd rather do it their way. And the Lord says, if you'd rather have the world, then you will perish with the world. Something doesn't have to happen. but it's a choice the person makes to receive Christ or not to receive Him. We're going to close now. And if the Lord has been speaking to you about any of these issues, man, just take it before Him. You know, the Lord loves you so much. He's done so much for us. He's prepared us for the moment where we would just totally give ourselves to Him and let His Spirit fill us and work in our life. Let's pray. Father, if someone is here today and they don't know Jesus, I ask You, Lord, today, humble them, Lord. I pray that You'd bring them to the point of seeing a need for Jesus. Lord, I pray You'd help them understand their sinfulness and their need for cleansing. I pray, Lord, You'd help them just to open their heart to You. You're already reaching out to them. And Father, I pray that You would save them. Father, for those of us today who know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, Lord, I pray You'd help us just to get away from any fear, anything holding us back from totally surrendering to You, Lord, and just giving You our life completely. Lord, the joy and the peace that's there, the fruit of the Spirit, oh, we want to know that in our life. We want to be filled with Your Spirit, Lord. And we ask You, Lord, just to help us surrender. Whatever's in the way, help us to get to the end of that road quickly, that we might see the dead end and say, Lord, I need more of You. I give You myself. Use me for Your glory. And I thank You for what You're doing. I give You all the praise. Lord, we rejoice to know Jesus, and we thank You for Him in Jesus' precious name. Amen.